We have finished, or we are finishing, after 11 long, hot weeks, we're finishing the Apostles' Creed. And really, I'm going to, because of our timing and doing communion this Sunday, I'm going to break this message into two. What? Yeah. Well, it's a 12-week series, so this week it's amen, and next week it's amen and amen. Huh? So we need to get the amen down. And so this is pretty, to me, I know, I like study and I like words, but we're going to talk about one word this week, amen. 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 In fact, I think we could probably sing that old hymn. I looked up on YouTube, Larnell Harris is a great old singer, and he sang that, amen. Amen. So we're going to do something different with the Apostles' Creed. For each line, there's, I think, 11 lines. I've added an amen. And you'll see why when we do it. But we've been looking at the Apostles' Creed all summer. So let's say it together, but I've added a word that wasn't originally in there. I've taken liberty. But I've added a word with amen at the end. So let's say it together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, amen. And in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, amen. Who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, amen. Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, amen. He descended into hell, amen. The third day he rose again from the dead, amen. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Amen. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Amen. I believe in the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. Amen. The forgiveness of sins. Amen. The resurrection of the body. Amen. And the life everlasting. Amen. And amen. So after 11 weeks, your so what comes really early. What have you come to believe in God the Father? What have you come to believe in God the Son who came and died for you? What have you come to believe in the Holy Spirit who lives in you? What have you come to believe about the holy, universal, all-embracing Catholic Church and the communion of saints? What have you come to believe about the forgiveness of sins? Do you know that you know that you know that you're forgiven? And that we're called to forgive? What do you believe about the resurrection of the body? What do you believe about life everlasting? It's my prayer that over it'll be a 12-week sermon series. That's a long one. Normally in homiletics class, they say, maybe do your sermon series 4 weeks. Well, this is three times as much. It's 12 weeks. But what do you know about amen? What do you know about amen? It's my prayer that at the end of the 12 weeks, at the end of next week, that you will know what your faith is, that what your foundation is, what your hope is. And as I've been praying about the seed and I've been praying about the world, what do we believe? And why do we believe it? And what would we give our life for? And we've talked about that this was a baptismal confession written around 140 AD. Speaking of baptism, I got a call yesterday from a lady who knew a member of the church who has moved away, but she's listening to KKLA, and she says, my friend said that I should call you because I want to get baptized. And I want my granddaughter baptized. and I want to join the church. Think of in 140 AD what that cost them to stand and say, I believe in God the Father Almighty. We talked about what Diocletian did. What do you believe? Why do you believe it? It ends with one word, amen. Amen. So that's already up there. Amen is a word that's used by the Jewish people. It's written in Hebrew. It's used by the Christians. And most of the time we use it when we say a prayer, and we say a prayer and then we say amen. The Muslims use this word. This word, amen, is probably the most universal, most well-known word in the world. It's spoken in every language. My next-door neighbor is, they're Koreans, wonderful people, really wonderful people. They have their Bible study at their house on Wednesday night. But every morning when I get up in the morning, I'm usually up really early, and I go out and sit in my front area underneath the umbrella, and usually before the sun's coming up, and I do my prayer and reading. And I can hear my neighbor, actually it's my neighbor on my left when I'm sitting there, because his windows are open, and it's about 6 o'clock in the morning. And for 15 or 20 minutes, all I hear is amen, 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 amen. And he's speaking in Korean, but I can hear his prayer. For 15 minutes, and it's almost like he's singing amen. It's a worshipful time for me. I sit there and I'm embraced by his amen, 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 amen. He says over and over again. The word amen is probably the most well-known word in the world. That's one significant fact. No matter what language you speak, if I spoke a different language and just said amen, or if Emily spoke a different language down here and we were talking and I said amen, she would know what I'm saying. It's a universal word used all around the world. But in the Hebrew language, it's used 30 times in the Old Testament. And it means in Hebrew, aman, amen, it means so be it, or let it be. It comes from a verb that means to be firm or sure, to be reliable, to believe in, or to trust. So, and here's the other thing. In the Old Testament, the word amen always precedes, that means it comes before what is being said. What they're doing in the Old Testament, when they're saying this, is they are saying that they believe, they put their trust, they know that what is being said is reliable, trustworthy. In essence, we would probably say, Al, you can take this to the bank. And he'd go, amen. When we say amen, they said it before the statement. Whoever was the speaker would say, amen. This is what God says. It's truth. It's trustworthy. It's reliable. So a young boy who liked a young girl in church one day, it'd be like our young ones here, our youth, a young boy liked a young girl, and I won't pick on him, but the young boy went to the young girl and said, boy, that was a good sermon today. And the young girl said, well, how would you know? And he says, well, your grandfather said amen 21 times to the pastor. Well, you've said amen several times. Amen. Our scripture reading, we'll probably get through one of them. We'll see where we go. And we'll finish it next week. Comes from the New Testament, the book of Matthew. And it comes at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. And if you're not familiar with the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7 are Jesus' longest teaching. There's three chapters. And he taught all about life and how to love God. The Beatitudes are in there. And when you get to chapter 7 at the very end, he ends with this story. It's a powerful story. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we just pray that our minds, our hearts, our ears would be open, that we would come to know your amen, your words of life, the words that are found in your Bible to be true, to be trustworthy, to be reliable, to be a foundation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so in the context, Jesus has probably talked for hours, and he's talked for three chapters. In fact, I would encourage you this week, go read the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. 5, 6, and 7. If nothing else, just go read chapter 7 and see how Jesus ends his sermon. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And this is how he ends the sermon. And to me, of course, I think this is Jesus' so what? He's preached for hours, and he ends, excuse me, I've been fighting a cold. He ends with this message. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, he's spoken for hours. Everyone who hears these words of mine and then puts them into practice, being a hearer and then being a doer, everyone who hears the words and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. I think of Dorian coming, a storm. Storms come in our lives in many ways. Sometimes they come as a hurricane. Sometimes they come as an earthquake. Sometimes they come as a doctor announces that, oh, we found something. The rain came down. The streams rose. The winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as the other teachers of the law. I received, you know, you get these emails, you probably get hundreds of emails, I do. So I received, you know, some people send me church funnies and funny things. And so I did receive this one about warnings about being foolish. So here you go. On a Duraflame log, it says, caution, risk of fire. On a Batman costume, it said, warning, cape does not enable user to fly. On a bottle of hair coloring, the warning says, do not use as an ice cream topper. These are true. On a cardboard sunshield for a car, if you use a sunshield, it says, do not drive with a sunshield in place. On a portable stroller, it says, caution, remove infant before folding for storage. Warnings about being wise and foolish are all over the place. The two men in Jesus' story had a warning. One was said, are you going to be wise or are you going to be foolish? Are you going to build your house on a truth? Are you going to build your house on a rock? Are you going to build your house on something that's reliable and trustworthy? Or are you going to build your house on the sand when the storms come and the winds blow and the waves crash? See, we all get that choice on how we will build our house. There's really no difference between the two men in the story. They get a choice. How are you going to build your house? What are you going to build your house on? If we were to read this story in the Gospel of Luke, Luke goes a little bit farther, and he says that we should build our house, dig down deep, deep, deep to a foundation, and build our house on that. The difference between the foolish man and the wise man is that the foolish man does not take the time to listen. The foolish man does not investigate all the possibilities of how to build or where to build. And the foolish man does not look, I'm guilty of it. I get something new and I don't read the directions. I know no one else does that, right? And then I put it together and I still have these pieces. And my wife says, what are those for? And I go, I don't know. And then I realize that it doesn't work. And then I have to take it apart and put it back together the right way. I know I'm the only person that's ever done that. So I'm confessing to you. The difference between the two builders is the wise man desired to build on a solid foundation. What is true? What is trustworthy? What is reliable? Amen. You see, that's what amen is. What is true? Amen. What is trustworthy? Amen. What is reliable? Amen. So I'm going to go to Revelation real quick. And we'll come back to this. This is where we'll come back, because we're going to spend next week in the book of Revelation. Because you have, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he talks about building your house. And are you going to be wise or are you going to be foolish? In Revelation 3, verses 14 to 22, it's one of the letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, the beginning of Revelation. In fact, this is the church to the church in Laodicea. But don't miss the very first verse in 14. And if you were to go read the seven churches, Jesus reveals himself with a different name. But to the church of Laodicea, this is what he says about who he is. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the... These are the words of Jesus. These are the words of the... Jesus is saying, I'm the Amen. I'm the one that's trustworthy. Jesus is saying that. I'm the one that's reliable. I'm the one that says, so let it be. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. This is the Amen, Jesus. We say Amen. We sing Amen. I hear my neighbor every morning, Amen, Amen, Amen. And it stirs in my heart. He's talking to Jesus. When we say a prayer, we conclude a prayer with amen. Verse 15, the great amen says, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich and I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white robes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door. great AM says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him or her and be with them. To them who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on the throne. In just a few minutes, we're going to have an opportunity to eat with Jesus. And he says, the great I am says, here I am. I'm knocking. And anyone who hears my voice and listens to me and opens the door, I'm going to come in and eat with you. And I'll be with you and you'll be with me. To them who overcome, I'll give the right to sit with me on the throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. They who have ears, he who has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He ends every word to the seven churches with that. Those who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, let them hear. In all the letters that Jesus introduces himself in the seven churches, he introduces himself with a different way. But to the church of Laodicea, he says, I'm the Amen. We think Amen is just, I'm going to say a prayer and you're going to say Amen. But all through Scripture, Amen came before the statement. In the Greek, if we were to read the New Testament, I gave you the Old Testament Hebrew meaning. But in the Greek, I don't know if I have another slide. Do I, Matt? Yeah, there it is. In the New Testament, Jesus usually begins his statement by saying, Amen, Amen. Now, if you use a King James version, it'll say, Verily, verily, I say to you. If you use maybe a NRSV or some of the NIVs, it'll say, Truly, truly, I say to you. If you were to go read Jesus' words, he begins his statements by saying, Amen and Amen. And I was going to make a list of them. I'll bring them to you next week. But every time he spoke, he said, Amen. This is what I say. In essence, he's saying, what I'm saying now, you can take to the bank. It's reliable. It's trustworthy. It's true. It's honest. So Jesus began his statements with Amen. In the Greek, the meaning of the word in Greek, so the Hebrews said, so let it be, or so be it. But in the Greek, when they tried to translate the Hebrew, they said, Amen means truth. That's it. Amen means truth. We think Amen is just the concluding word of a prayer. But for the Hebrew people, it was saying, this is who God is. And for the Greeks, we're saying, this is truth. This is a foundation. This is something that you can build your life on. So when the storms come, and they will come, your house won't fall. Jesus is the truth and is absolutely trustworthy, is what he's saying. Jesus is faithful and true witness, and he's the source of all creation. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. The opening description to the church in Laodicea was very important, and let me give you a quick background on it. They were neither hot nor cold. They were neither hot nor cold. And the image of being lukewarm is also really understanding the context of a reference how they got their water. I asked John today, I think I have a water leak in my yard, and I'm going, oh, what do I do? And he gave me some advice, but this is how they got their water. They got their water through a viaduct, and by the time it came to them, it was lukewarm. It wasn't hot, and it wasn't cold. And he's saying to the people in Laodicea, you're not hot, and you're not cold. You're just kind of lukewarm. In essence, he's saying, I don't know if you're building your house on the rock. I don't know where your commitment is. So in a few minutes, we're going to share communion. And we'll pick up on Revelation 3, and I'm going to go next week to Revelation 21 and 22. And I will give you a precursor, come back, because the book ends with amen. The whole Bible ends with amen. Come, Lord Jesus, come, amen. Maranatha, amen. So this whole thing, 66 books, ends with amen. It's a foundation that you should build your life on. Because I know storms are going to come. We know Dorian's coming right now. It's a category 5. Catastrophic is what the news said this morning. Catastrophic storm. And we have friends and relatives in the face of a storm. But we know storms are going to come when we go to the doctor, or we look at our bank account, or we have a breakdown in a relationship. But what are we going to build our life on? Are we going to stand on this and say, this is my life, and I'm not going to fall? Are you going to be wise? Are you going to be foolish? Are you going to be lukewarm? Are you going to be hot? Are you going to be cold? Jesus says, I am the Amen, the faithful and true, trustworthy one. We're coming to the table, and he says, go to the last slide, Michael. Oh, you know what? I didn't put it there. I'm sorry. Revelation 3:20. He says, I stand at the door and knock. Everyone who hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with them. It's interesting, too, understanding in the Hebrew and the Greek culture in the time of Jesus, the meal was, it was the evening meal. And it was a time for communion or fellowship. And Jesus says, because their breakfast was just a piece of bread dipped in wine. That's all they had. And lunch, they didn't have a lot for lunch, but the evening meal was a feast. And the word that's used in Revelation 3:20 is the word for the evening meal, the communion. And he says, I want to have communion with you. I want to be in you and you in me. Because, well, I'm the Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we just come to this table. We come not because we're worthy. We come because you are worthy. You're worthy of all honor and power and glory. We come because we need you. We come because we need to know what is true, what is trustworthy, what is reliable. Lord, help us to build our houses on the rock. And we pray for your Holy Spirit to come upon these common, ordinary elements. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Sanctify these elements. Set them apart for your use, that in the breaking of the bread, the sharing of the cup, our hearts will be open and we'll hear, amen. This is true. Amen, so be it with me. We give thanks for the apostles and the Apostles' Creed, and for prophets and teachers and parents and grandparents and friends who have shared the good news with us, the great amen, so that we would be here today. Help us to walk in that way. And we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.